Well, while the energy bill is bogged down in controversies over MTBE, drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, and subsidies to oil producers, there is one item in the bill getting broad political support: the expansion of daylight saving time. There's a bipartisan effort to extend daylight saving from March to November. That's 2 months more than what we get now in order to save on energy. It's a far cry from the rancorous congressional history that saving daylight has had. From Woodrow Wilson to Ronald Reagan, changing the clock has pitted religious fundamentalists and farmers against retailers and pork barrel congressmen. Joining me to discuss saving time is Michael Downing. He teaches creative writing at Tufts University, and his new book is named for that memorable mnemonic. It's called Spring Forward, The Annual Madness of Daylight Saving Time. Michael, hello.
Hello, I'm happy to be here, Bruce.
It's not daylight savings time. I've been saying it wrong all these many years.
You're in very good company. It tells us something that even the name of the idea confuses us. People confuse it with a savings account, as if we're actually saving something. But the truth is, if daylight saving is anything, it's a tremendously effective spending account.
How's that?
Well, it turns out that the one thing daylight saving does do is it forces people out of their houses. And when Americans go out of their houses, as the golf and barbecue industry know, they spend money.
And this was or became about money. It wasn't until basically just before World War I that the United States adopts daylight saving time.
That's right. The idea comes from 1907 in London with William Willett, who's an architect. But importantly to this story, he's a golfer. And he's riding through town and notices that at sunrise, people have their curtains closed. He thinks if instead of that hour coming in the morning of daylight, you gave it to people in the evening, they wouldn't block it out, they'd spend it. This idea gets really popular, however, right around the beginning of World War I. And the British think they can maybe use it to save some energy. That's the beginning of the confusion. That's how it comes to America, World War I, trying to save some energy.
And does it do that?
It doesn't probably do much of that. Here's what it does tremendously effectively. It shifts the time people ask for energy. So it alters peak load demand. And that's very useful during a wartime economy. But in truth, for about 5 years before World War I, the Chamber of Commerce, on behalf of big department stores in the cities, were pressing President Wilson to give us daylight saving.
Well, in Boston, actually, Filene's basement, he says, save an hour of light and spend an hour at night, or something like that?
That was exactly the deal. Lincoln Filene understood that if workers left work while it was still bright outside, they would walk past his department store, see the windows lit up with daylight, walk in and spend something on the retail goods inside. He was right. He was one of the principal proponents in America.
So what's the beef that farmers had with it?
It's a terrible problem for farmers. Let's say they had 3 hours to get their eggs, milk, and produce to market in the cities. You turn the clocks ahead, the next year they have 2 hours to do the exact same amount of work.
But it wasn't because the cows got up early and they couldn't give milk.
No, actually, the farmers like to tell Congress that their animals couldn't actually tell time, so this clock manipulation wasn't serving them in any way whatsoever.
But Wilson loves the idea. In fact, he gets to sign it into law twice.
Wilson, and like many presidents who followed him, was a big fan of the Chamber of Commerce because those department stores were the biggest economic force in America. But because the farmers were so opposed and they weren't alone, right after the war ends, 2 years of daylight saving, the Congress hates daylight saving so much, it forces Wilson to repeal it.
And they hate it because?
Well, they hate it because the farmers hate it. The fundamentalist preachers and the religious right in this country consider it an offense against God. They feel they have taken the country off God's time onto clock time.
Now, God's time was standard time.
Well, that's the problem. God's time in the mind of people who use that phrase really is sun time. But by 1883, most Americans were off of sun time because the railroads had put us on standard time. But here's the funny story of standard time that dovetails here. Congress didn't enact standard time for 35 years. The railroads just imposed it as a commercial necessity on the country, so people didn't think of it as a federal government involvement in time as they did with daylight saving.
And in fact, today what we call standard time actually is not standard. Standard time is daylight saving time because there's more months of daylight saving time.
We right now, as a result of the 1986 extension, we have 7 months of daylight saving in this country, and Congress is now pressing to give us 9. Apparently, they can't get enough of it.
But why don't they just go to the whole year?
Well, you know, Richard Nixon tried that. Even though he was a tremendously famous opponent of daylight saving time, Nixon in 1974, to try to stem the effects of the OPEC oil embargo, put the country on all-year daylight saving, and it was a total disaster. Within a week, here's what happened. places like, let's say, Michigan, have sunrise times in the winter months, which are about 7:30 in the morning. Well, if you turn the clocks ahead, now you've got an 8:30 sunrise time, and you've got school children going out on dark, trafficy streets. One or two bus accidents was enough to turn the country against all year daylight saving. That's what Congress is essentially proposing now, and I think if it goes into effect, we're going to hear a big hue and cry.
I thought this was a bipartisan bill and that it was a no-brainer, it was going to go through.
Well, the House has passed it, and it is absolutely bipartisan, as was the extension in 1986. The idea is, what we're now hearing from congressmen, is that it saves as much as 10,000 barrels of oil a day. But moving the clock the way we do in the winter months tends to increase the demand for home heating oil. It also reliably increases the amount of gasoline people use, because when you give more Americans more time of light at night, they get into their cars. So the saving property is very, very debatable, and clearly it does not cut down on traffic accidents.
So it was about money.
Absolutely, it was about money. Who profited in 1986 when we went from 6 to 7 months? Well, the barbecue industry figured it stood to make $100 to $150 million extra by the extension of daylight saving. The golf industry, $200 to $400 million. Golf is the last sport that we cannot illuminate. Golf courses are too big to be lit up at night. So they really profit by having extra daylight saving at the end of the day. People can get in 18 holes after a day of work. I think the reason we see the extensions of daylight saving is really that money not only makes men bold, but it tends to make them bipartisan.
So Einstein was correct.
Everything's relative as long as we keep playing with our clocks.
Michael Downing's new book is called Spring Forward, The Annual Madness of Daylight Saving Time. Thank you very much, Michael.
This was a pleasure, Bruce.
Coming up, Las Vegas gambles on a controversial plan to quench its growing need for water. Keep listening to Living on Earth.